Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hey, everybody. This is Philip J. Fry from Futurama, pizza delivery boy. And right now you're listening to This Week in Geek. And you can find it on the web at beinggeek.net. Birdman and Double D. It's awesome. It's cool.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks. Games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks. This Week in Geek. This Week in Geek.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geek, and welcome to Season 4.5, A New Home, as Clark Superfan Pullum has called it. Yes, guys, we are back. This is our first episode, our first interview that we have in June. Obviously, we've taken a little bit of time off, so thank you all for putting up with the website and our constant hiatus edition of stuff. Even though you guys know me well, I never took any real time off. Well, I kind of sort of did. I've interviewed Axel Braun, who did the Batman porno parody, which is kind of awesome. But we also had a crap ton of DVD commentaries. We had Iron Man. We had Clash of the Titans, The Empire Strikes Back, celebrating the 30th anniversary of The Empire Strikes Back back on May 21st, I believe. So it's been a whole crap ton. I mean, we got a lot of really cool stuff coming up this season. In fact, it seems to me I met some really awesome people over at the website and production company, digitalplayground.com. And one of the PR reps over there, Lexi, set me up with a whole bevy of beautiful women to talk to for the month of June, which I think is pretty awesome. That's how I get to start the season off, talking to a bunch of hot people. And the cool thing is, when I get a chance to talk to these porn actors, porn directors, and the whole gag has always been to never really talk about porn, but to kind of get to know them as people, to figure out what's going on. And this month, we're going to be talking to a whole bunch of them. We're going to be talking to Riley Steele, Stoya, Jesse Jane, and today, we're going to start things off right. We're going to start season 4.5 of Twig off right with actress Caden Cross. Caden, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's a real, real pleasure to have you on the show. So I guess to describe the Twig interview format, because you may not be familiar with our stuff because we're super nerds, I like to think of our interview style as sort of inside the actor studio, but with a nerdy twist. So I guess without any further ado, let's jump right into this. So Caden, tell me, how did you get involved in the adult industry? I mean, like, was this like a career choice out of college, or was this something that seemed kind of cooler? How did you fall into the wonderful, weird, and wacky world of porn?
Well, I was actually in college and always am, but I was a dancer at the club in Sacramento that I started working at, and an agent came in to get me to do solo modeling. And from there, contract offers rolled in, and then next thing I knew, I was a contract girl. It just kind of took off.
So when you got to meet this agent and you got into the whole kind of modeling thing. Basically, how did they approach you to start working contractually to do adult films, and what made you want to make that transition? I mean, like, did you ever entertain the idea of maybe sticking with strictly just like kind of photo stuff, or what made you go into mainstream movies?
You know, I had never... You mean hardcore movies?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I had never thought about porn or entertained the idea. I didn't even think of it as an option. And just when I started doing the photo shoots, which I also didn't think of as an option, I kind of got an inside look at what the world was really like. And the more I found out about porn, the more I wanted to be a part of it. So I just, it took me about 9 months, but when I made the leap, I was really, really, really ready to get started on it.
I mean, what is something, Caden, that maybe a lot of people don't know about porn? I mean, like, a lot of people have this perception that it's a sleazy and dirty industry. And from the people that I've spoken to, it seems like it's well regulated, and it seems like it's a fairly clean and fun industry to kind of work in. So what's kind of an insight that you could share with my listeners from behind the green door, so to speak?
You know, I hate to bash expectations, but it's actually very corporate. And, people have this boogie nights idea of what the industry's like, and it's just not. It's, you know, it's a bunch of businesses with 8 a.m. call times and payroll. So, you know, it's not that exciting from that perspective.
So what... So I guess let's go into some of your experiences with going into your career at first there. Sorry, I kind of stumbled all over myself. What was the first experience you really had that sort of made the industry seem like, you know what, this is something that I want to kind of stick with?
It was a number of things. Hustler took me to AVN to sign before I had ever done a movie. And so when I saw AVN and all the girls in the industry and all the opportunities they had and everything they were doing and how excited they were about everything they were going to be doing, it got me excited. So it took me a while after that, because I knew once I went in, you know, once a porn star, always a porn star. It's always out there. So I wanted to make sure it was what I really wanted to do. But once I made that decision, I couldn't wait.
I mean, what are some of the more interesting people you've had a chance to work with in the adult industry?
Let's see. Well, like the Digital Playground girls are... I think my personal best. I had them all in one scene for the movie we had coming out in September, Body Heat. And that was probably the most interesting, awesome scene I'd ever done. Because you know what they look like.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what has been the funniest experience you've ever had as a, like, kind of porn star? Like, have you ever been stopped in... say a 7-Eleven going, "Oh my God, I know who you are," or had any other weird experiences like that?
We've had stuff like that. I think one of my favorites was we were on a tour bus for a movie we'd released, and the tour bus was wrapped with the skin of the movie. So everywhere we went, there were these giant, like, you know, 8-foot-tall life-size porn stars everywhere on the bus, and it was just the title of the movie and us in obviously non-nude poses. And so we were in somewhere in the Midwest, and we were in Subway, and this mom with her two kids thought it was a real movie tour. And so she chased us out, pulled us out of the bus, made us take a bunch of pictures with her next to the bus, and then, like, she wanted to know when the movie was releasing, where she could buy it. She's like, "Oh, my God, kids, this is going to be so great." And the whole time, we didn't want to be like, "Hey, this is porn," because the kids were standing right there. But she had a whole crowd drawn. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, wow. All right, then. So one of the things that I like to ask all the people that I talk to, and I'd like to know, what is something that you're particularly passionate about? Is there anything that makes you kind of a geek or a nerd, maybe some kind of a personal interest of yours?
Oh, God, I am a bookworm to the core, and I collect my books, and everyone keeps trying to get me on Kindle, but I think it goes against the whole awesomeness of being a bookworm. So I read anything and everything. I have 6 or 7 going at any given time. People think I'm being mean, but I just go away and read when I should be doing real stuff.
Now, what is your favorite book that you've ever had a chance to read, or a book that you've absolutely hated?
Little White Trip is by far the worst book. I couldn't finish it. I couldn't. It's bad. My favorite, I really like Yonder Stands Your Orphan by Barry Hannah. The Book Thief is one of my favorites. I just finished one called Let the Great World Spin by Colm McCann, I believe is his name. They're all pretty awesome. And then Margaret Atwood is one of my favorites. And I love Bukowski. I adore Bukowski.
Wow, that's kind of awesome that you're a bookworm. And it's kind of neat to think that at least there are people out there that still appreciate, you know, paper books and everything. Like, I'm kind of with you in the same idea. I think the Kindle kind of takes away from the experience of absorbing literature. It's no different than reading a computer screen. I mean, the knowledge is there, but the experience.
Hold it. I want to hold it, and I want to put it down, and I want to stack it up in my book collection at the end of the day.
Actually, I just thought of this question. What is the book you're proudest to own? Like, do you have anything that's, like, super rare or signed?
I have a first edition printing of Atlas Shrugged.
And how did you come across that? Was it, like, a gift or something? Or
it was a gift. It was a birthday gift from a close friend. And it's not the original sleeve, but it's the actual hardcover book is first edition.
That's very cool. I'm very happy to hear that. So one of the things that I really want to focus on this kind of interview with is I want to talk about your experiences with dating, because, you know, it's summertime. A lot of my listeners are out of school for the year, or they've come back to their, like, hometowns, or they're going away on vacation to live at the summer beach house or whatever. So I figured I would talk to someone who knows the ways of men and women and help my listeners find a date for the summertime, because come on, everybody wants to have a girl or a boy, and sometimes both if they're that fortunate. So what advice would you give to someone who's just trying to get out there into the dating world?
You just don't fit the stereotype. Like, if guys don't act like the stereotypical thing that girls complain about, and girls don't act like the stereotypical thing that guys complain about, you're good. People tend to stick around.
Now, when, like, you start first, when, like, you started dating way back in high school, I mean, like, what was your first experience, and how has that shaped your experiences going forward?
You know, the way I, quote-unquote, dated in, you know, high school and even middle school versus now, it's so different.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.125%. APR, 4.22%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 0.88% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
It is definitely more common ground between the people I date now versus the people I dated in high school. And I don't know. Like,
I mean, the reason I ask is because, I mean, as we grow up and we grow forward, I mean, things start to kind of change. I mean, for example, when I started dating in high school, I'll take whatever I could get. Yes, I'm desperate. And now my minimum is, if you don't have a bachelor's or a master's degree, don't bother talking to me. And it's funny just how people's tastes and, like, kind of standards go. But I'm just wondering, for someone who's really shy, I mean, like, what do they do to make sure they're not just settling for, hey, you have a pulse sort of thing?
God, I don't know. I think there's not really a trick you learn for that. I know personally, the thing I always, always, always look for is I want to feel like that spark from across the room. I want to feel it before I meet the person. If it's not there, it's not going to be there for me. If you're shy and not out talking to people, the easiest thing to get people to talk to you is to ask them about themselves. Girls love to talk about themselves. They really do.
actually, now speaking of talking about yourself, I noticed you have a kind of blog, and I started reading it and going back a couple of months, and there was a recent post that kind of got me thinking, and I would love to hear more of the story here. And you were talking about your first kiss, and I'd kind of like to know how that experience changed things for you and how maybe that kind of puts a perspective on things. Now, I love, like you just mentioned, you want to feel that spark from across the room. I mean, if you could maybe elaborate more on that experience for me.
Well, I mean, first of all, the spark I used to get with all boys. And the older I get, the smaller my pool becomes that I get sparks with. But in that situation, if you remember the way the story went, basically my first kiss scared me off from kisses for another 2 years because he came at me with, like, braces and Oreos. And he literally popped an Oreo in his mouth, chewed it, swallowed it, stuck his tongue out, closed his eyes, and aimed. And I was on the other end of that, and I didn't close my eyes in time. And so it really was a traumatizing experience for me. I finally just, a couple years later when I was 15, I finally just kind of took a deep breath and jumped and got over it. But definitely for that period of time, I was a little bit, I didn't know what to do, because I still loved boys and loved hanging out with them, but I was afraid of them.
Oh, wow. So I just trying to imagine being kissed with Oreo mouth.
And braces.
Fortunately, I could probably cross that off my list of things that will never happen to me.
Oh, good.
So, I mean, as you've grown up, I mean, what is, and, you know, you start kind of dating somebody, what is something these guys could do when they start to take out the girl and they've got them alone, or the boy, or whoever, basically? I mean, like, what is some ideas for fun dates they could do that maybe don't necessarily fit the kind of norm of what's expected nowadays? I mean, everybody does the dinner and a movie. If someone were to take you out right now, what would wow you?
I mean, this is kind of boring, but I love when people take me to, like, Borders or Barnes & Noble and leave me alone to just play. I mean, then it's not really a date, though, because I ditch them. let's see, what's great? Yeah, I'm into horses. I go horseback riding a lot. Most people won't go with me, but if I could get a guy to do that, he'd be in.
So you would recommend maybe doing something that's, like, off the beaten path, like, say, horseback riding or maybe something like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, horseback riding is always great. It's kind of cliche if you think about it, but if you'll actually do it, that's pretty awesome.
That is kind of cool. I mean, I've never had that experience myself, but then, hey, if you've seen a picture of me and the horse probably wouldn't get along too well. I'm trying to think what else here. Okay, so let's say they've got the first date, they're in the bag, they've done the horseback riding, they didn't die. Now they're alone. They want to take the next step. And how would they go about proceeding to hit the proverbial home run?
The proverbial home run. I don't know. I think girls tend to respond relatively well when you've got a good vibe going and you just kind of lean in and go for it. It gets awkward when you bring it up. Don't ask. Don't narrate what you're doing.
So I take it I'm going to take off your bra now doesn't exactly turn someone's crank.
No, I was taking an acting class yesterday, and they said when you narrate your actions, it's a sign of neuroticism.
I always found that really funny. Whenever you think of the stereotypical porno and a guy narrates what they're doing, it turns out to be unintentionally funny.
Oh my God, I can't handle it. I can't pay attention.
Actually, that just made me think of a funny question. What is the funniest thing you've ever had happen to you during a scene where the director had to call cut because you were laughing?
Well, God, we've had a little of everything happen. One of my favorite scenes, we ended up not cutting. I was with Evan Stone, and we were shooting for my website, and we had baby oil. And Evan, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but
I love that guy.
Acrobat. Okay, so he'll throw you around and toss you and put you in positions that you didn't know you could bend into and all kinds of stuff. And we were on the bed with baby oil, and I slipped. I basically slipped out because, you know, we're covered in the stuff. And he slipped too, and we both ended up rolling off the bed. But he didn't stop actually having sex with me at that point, so he just kept going. And the cameraman didn't stop, and I didn't stop, and the editor didn't cut it out, and that's the scene.
I kind of want to see that. I'm just kind of, you know what? I've been a fan of Evan Stone since I saw him in the, like, Pirates porno. And a buddy of mine once compared Evan Stone to Zap Brannigan from Futurama. If you know who that is, I think that's who Evan Stone embodies. And seeing him in the new Batman porno as the Riddler was disturbing yet awesome at the same time.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing.
So I guess my like kind of next question is, when you've got them in the moment and you've got their clothes off, you're ready to rock and roll, what is a trick guaranteed, or at least something that you like, that a guy might want to do to a girl, or a girl might want to do to a guy, and vice versa?
Sex tips?
Definitely some sex. I mean, come on, we're talking about porn. I have to ask the obligatory sex question.
I'm amazed that you'd ask. Oh my God. I'm trying to think. I think the thing that both guys and girls most often forget is, if you hit something and you're doing it right, whether it's oral or whatever you're doing, and you're getting a good response, don't stop doing that. Like, there's a rhythm, and you build that rhythm until it turns into something awesome. And too often, guys take a positive response from girls as, okay, now change it and go faster. And that's not it at all. And it's the same with girls. They'll be getting a blowjob, and the guy's like, oh my God, baby, that's great. And so she speeds up, and then she ruins it.
Yeah, I've always kind of wondered why. I mean, once again, if you read even erotic fiction, this seems to happen in there too. It seems to be going awesome, then they change it up, and no, don't stop doing that.
Exactly.
Well, guys, you heard it right from Caden Cross. If you're doing something right, just keep going. It's okay.
It's okay. She likes it.
Exactly. Eventually she'll come and all is well with the world. It's not just talent. It's also skill. So I guess my last question here for you, Caden, is what is going to be coming up for you this year? I mean, what is something you're really excited to have happen this summer or going into the fall?
Well, I mean, as you know, obviously I'm just starting to have my movies roll out from Digital Playground because I'm new with them. So The Smiths hit last month, and it's, like, blowing away. It's doing really great. And then My Boss's Daughter is about to release on the 22nd, and that's already available for pre-order on digitalplayground.com. But the one I'm really excited about is our big movie in September, Body Heat, and that's the one with all the girls in one scene.
Now, when did you start shooting Body Heat?
We started shooting a few months ago, and it was obviously a very long movie. But it's their, it's their big budget. It's now, very, 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 very well done. I have a feeling it'll take a lot of awards, and of course, you can't say no to Digital Girls.
Exactly. I mean, you're all extremely pretty and talented. Now, here's my question. Now, when you do a really big production such as Body Heat, do you guys get a chance to do anything behind the scenes, like, say, commentaries or interviews or, like, anything of that sort?
I have done commentary, and obviously they roll BTS the whole time. I don't know if they'll do commentary on this movie or not because, it's still in editing. But we do a little bit of unique stuff for every movie. There's always extra stuff that comes with the discs and then a whole PR campaign around it that has another slew of extra stuff. So I'm sure you'll be seeing it everywhere.
Excellent stuff. Well, Caden, I definitely want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us on This Week in Geek. So, guys, you heard it here from Caden. It's not impossible to get a date this summer. I mean, don't be shy. For the love of God, if you have braces, don't eat Oreos. And if you got her going, you're in the moment, keep going. It's okay. It's like Guitar Hero. There's a rhythm to it, damn it, and you can reach a high score. So anyway, Caden, once again, thank you for coming out on This Week in Geek. I want you to hold the line for just a moment. So guys, this is season 4.5. We have a whole month of talking to all the Digital Playground girls. You're jealous. I'm awesome. I love it. As I'm often fond of saying, live free or die hard. Stay tuned this Sunday for the first episode of the Nerd News Network. And trust me, guys, I have more Digital Playground awesomeness on that show. Catch you guys again real soon.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Remember, kids, buy pizza, pay with snakes.
What's your social media business card? My fist.
Just give me a big box of beef.
Don't give them ideas.
Don't forget our other twig project, George Lucas has lost his mind.com.
Does Jesus have Matrix powers?
I think the Pillsbury Doughboy's albino.
I'd like to see a cat on Tourette's.
That's the moment I give up on life. Because then I don't know what to believe in anymore. When the Amish start twittering, I'm done.
Can we leave this subject alone?
Hello.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh no.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm confused. As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear Kyle Hebert say...
Today, the world. Tomorrow, the universe. Next week, my chiropractor. Ay, my back.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment about this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can also call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by perpetualemotionmachine.ca. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on condo insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you took minimalism too far because there's only one chair in your entire condo and your only entertainment is one card. Not even a deck of cards, but a single card. And all your guests have to share one plate and one fork, but you're convinced that less stuff means more freedom. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the overly minimalist broom closet you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on condo insurance.
You shouldn't go to Barnes & Noble and buy 10,000 books just so you can build a book fortress and yell out, "I am your book leader." You shouldn't buy 147 copies of War and Peace, stuff them inside turkeys, and serve them at Thanksgiving as turbookins. And you definitely shouldn't buy up all the copies of Dork Diaries, causing the neighborhood kids to stage a protest in your front yard. But you could. Because at the Barnes & Noble Book Haul, you can get over 1,000 titles for 50% off. Stock up at your local Barnes & Noble. Turbookins are fictitious and should not be cooked at home.